So we're so glad to be here this morning, and we will enjoy one another's company, I hope. And then we'll preach the gospel, but we will pray first. A gracious and loving Heavenly Father, how good it is to meet here and to be able to worship you in song and in giving and in praying and in preaching. We pray for those here watching by webcam and those here, if there's anybody who doesn't know you as personal Lord and Savior, that this morning will be their victory day. That'll be the day when they find you and get their life changed and put on the right road for eternity. Sounds simple, but it's not. It was the work of God and the plan of God. And I often amazed at all he asked us to do was to love him and to obey his commandments. You'd think we could do that. Thank you for all who have come this morning, those who came by purpose and those who you led here, just found a church. We've had many people do that, and we welcome them. We're so glad that we have people who come every Sunday and that we enjoy being part of the family of God. Be with me as I preach, if you will. Guide my reins in the daytime and the night, that I might be able to help someone find you if they don't know you, and to encourage those who do. In Christ Jesus' name, I pray, and for his sake, amen. So we thank you for being here this morning, and all you who are back, Dick's back from the hospital and feeling good, and Bernie's rehabbing, and we're just having a good time with a lot of folks here. And next time you come, Harry, I'll preach, if you don't mind. We're glad when you come, but you know, we're going to hold it down a little bit. So if you brought a Bible and turn to Psalms 1, if you watch TV any this week, somebody didn't come in to steal yours during the protest, you'll understand Psalm 2, verse 1. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Can you understand that as the verse of the week? And we think we're seeing craziness. Somebody asks me every week, they'll say, what's happening? Preacher, what's going on in the world? And why is everybody at war? And why do we have ISIS and ISIS and everybody else doing like they're doing? What's taking place? And our country's upside down, and the protests that we have, and people see things different way. I've heard so many views on what happened to that young man. I'm sorry he's dead, but I'm glad he's gone. What we lost was a heroin dealer off the street. And if you think I'm going to be sad, you're out of your mind. I hope to get them all off the street. People have said, I am not too tolerant. You better believe it. I follow the path of Jesus. If you think he was tolerant, wait till we start talking about some judgments. Now, as Harry told you a while ago, I don't know where he got my outline, but he found it. We're going to talk this morning concerning the rapture of the church, of people who don't hear that. I was amazed at the number of people who will ask me, where is that in the Bible? Tell me more about that. We find that most churches don't preach the end of the world anymore. And in your Bible says end of the world, you can go ahead and scratch that, even in your King James Version, Harry. That's end of the age. It's not the end of the world as such. The Bible says over and over, the world never end. And the end of the age is the end of the church age, and we're fastly approaching that. So we want to help you today to see what is going to happen in the future. Everybody wants to know. Please understand, I believe Harry said a while ago, if he didn't, it was a lady preacher that gave a short sermon back there, that the rapture of the church is the next big event in God's calendar. Please understand, everything that had to happen for the Lord to come back for his church, that's called the rapture of the church. He comes and it's called harpazo in the Greek, which means you snatched out, removed physically from one place to another. That's what that word means. And people who don't believe the way we do will say, well, I don't see the word rapture in the Bible. Well, I got bad news for you. You can't find the word Bible in the Bible. You gonna quit believing it too? Don't think so. So the rapture of the church, my dad is an evangelist, as most of you know, and in the mid-30s, he came south from Toronto and taught the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. That means that Jesus is going to come, but he's not going to land. He's not coming to set up his kingdom at that time. He is coming for his bride. That's us. He's coming for all the people, dead and alive, who have put their faith and trust in him from the Old Testament, who they followed the Jewish law. They're saved as you are. It was just they were saved by the old method, by faith. Abraham was saved by faith alone 400 years before the law was instituted. So you are saved by faith, by believing. And we talked about that last week. So the rapture of the church is the next big event on God's calendar. We know that. I cannot understand, it's always bothered me in college and different places that you go to study, that people will not believe in the rapture of the church. They'll say, well, it's just too outlandish. I mean, it's too ridiculous that God's going to call us and we're going to leave here and a body, and on the way up you get a new body, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, the Bible says. The reason for that is they're 6 feet in the ground, deeper than us. They have to rise first. And then it says, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, harpazo, together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, we have several views on what's going to happen. We have the pre-tribulation view. That is what we teach. Pre means before the tribulation, that after we go up, the world just goes completely crazy. That's what you see happening now around the world. People will say, well, preacher, what's causing all this? All of a sudden, the whole world is in derision. Well, the Bible told you that in Psalm 2, that he'll have them in derision and will laugh at them. And they are in derision right now, and nobody's saying, well, what happened? Well, they don't have jobs, one of our presidential candidates said. I said, what you gonna do with a billion people that live in the desert where there are no towns. It's hard to get a job like that, isn't it? And it's not jobs and it's not education. What's stirring people up is demonic activity. This is Satan's last attempt. He knows it's shortly before the Lord comes. We do believe, I heard Harry saying a while ago, he believes. I know I believe. Jack Van Impe believes. Stanley believes. David Jeremiah believes. Hagee believes. All the good preachers believe that the Lord is coming in this generation. Now, the Bible says we don't know the day nor the hour. Nobody claims that, 3 o'clock one Friday in June. We don't do that. But it does indicate we will see the signs setting up. It's just like, did any of you go to the circus that was downtown Myrtle Beach? Cole Brothers, they've been around since me and you were kids. And Cole Brothers Circus, you knew something was coming because they started bringing these wagons downtown. And they set up these tents. And then here come the tigers and the elephants and all that. I didn't think they were starting a zoo. I thought the circus was coming to town. Nobody said it was, but it was obvious they were about to get here. Now they'll come with a TV ad and a newspaper ad, and people can go down and enjoy the circus, except my wife. She hates clowns. And so somebody said, why'd she marry you then? And you know, I can't help that. And so we see the signs, all the signs that were needed to be filled before the Lord could come for his church existed when the Apostle Paul was writing this. They were already done. There was no more to be done. There are no more big events to happen before the Lord comes for his church. That's why people who preach pre-tribulation rapture, which I do, and Graham does. You remember little Billy Graham? He turned out to be a pretty good preacher. And we've had all the people who really studied the Bible have to come to a pre-tribulation view of Scripture if they believe the Scriptures literally. Burkhoff, he's dead now. He was a theologian and held high in that area of study, but he was a liberal. He didn't believe in the inerrant Word of God. He believed what he wanted to believe, and you know, don't know about people like that and where they go. Because you see, when you pick and choose what you're going to believe, and the Lord Jesus Christ said one thing, you're calling him a liar. That's a very, very serious thing to do, to say I don't believe what Jesus said is right. I believe it's going to be this way. Well, we don't mean to infer you to be less intelligent than Jesus, but you are. Compared to him, you as dumb as a chair there. And he knows the beginning from the end and sees it all at once. I'm talking to somebody, I don't know who it was. God doesn't see things chronologically as they happen like this. See, he sees this, everything at once, from the beginning to the end. That's why he said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Those are the Greek letters, if any of you were in a fraternity, that from the beginning and the end. He knows it all before you do it, and what you think, what you're going to think, and he knows it all, but he doesn't force himself upon you. He gives you an opportunity to be saved. And Dustin, what's Jaeger? Seegers. Seeger, Dustin, wonderful mind, intellectually far superior to me, and that's not a hard goal to reach, but he's certainly done it. And we talk theological terms and doctrines and all, and he is a Presbyterian. He's a tulip man, isn't he? He's Baptist, but he believes in the fire and the tulip doctrine, which is wrong, but we don't want to make him mad. But the Presbyterians of that kind, they believe that you are, not that they'll still go to heaven, but they believe that God chooses you and you are elect, and maybe I'm not. And I'll never know till I either get there or don't whether I'm saved or not. I really don't care to walk down that road. I want to know for sure God loves me, that he died for me, that he's coming to get me, and I'm going to be with him forever because he gave me an invitation and I said yes. And whether they get into deep terms or, well, he gave you the faith to believe and all, I don't know where I got it. I just know I have it. I just know I heard the gospel from my father, and I heard him preach for years, and he always taught, which I teach and teach to you, that whosoever will may come. And I'm so glad to be a whosoever. I had a friend in Greenville, a friend of our family's older than I, Willard Edwards. He was a construction worker, metal construction, and a wonderful Christian. He's one of the finest Christian men I ever met. And at break time, when he worked for those companies putting up buildings, he'd ask them at lunch, could he have some time to preach a little bit? And he'd come back to Greenville and he'd say, buddy, that's what they called me when I was little. Yes, I was little at one time. And he'd say, buddy, this week they gave me 2 minutes every lunch. He was just so proud that they gave him 2 minutes. And he was so thankful that for 2 minutes he could stand up and witness to his co-workers and perhaps get somebody saved. Wonderful man. But he had a little New Testament, and anywhere it said whosoever, he'd scratch that out and put Willard Edwards. Write it back in. Willard Edwards may be saved. You probably remember Willard's tin shop up next to your grandmama's in West Greenville. And every time it was there, whosoever, because he wanted his name there. He wanted the Bible to read, Willard Edwards may be saved. Willard Edwards had his sins forgiven. Willard Edwards is going to be caught up in the air to meet me. Willard Edwards is going to stay with me forever. He wanted people to know. And he passed away, and I was holding his funeral. I call it a homegoing, not a funeral. Funerals for dead people. He didn't die. He moved. And they had him in a casket, of course. You know how they do. They put you all up there and try to make you look like you're not dead. But he's laying there, and he was dead. And I was went up and prayed and thanked the Lord for his life and all. And I noticed they didn't have a Bible in his hand. And I went to his wife. I said, Miss Willie, where's Willard's Bible? She said, well, I have it. I said, give it to me. In a little New Testament he'd carry with him all the time. And I took that New Testament, reached in there, and stuck it in his dead hand. I said, now he looks like Willard Edwards. He didn't look like Willard Edwards without that Bible. And I'd seen him carry it since I was 6. And I loved the man. He loved me. And what a blessing to see a man that just a common worker, not a preacher. He finally got him a little mail order course, passed it, and drove to Illinois to graduate. I was so proud of it. My dad drove him up there. They had him ordained and ready to go. And I said, that's the way you're supposed to do. And he's waiting for the rapture, where God's going to take the dead in Christ, bap, and take their bodies, change them on the way up to give them an immortal body like Christ has, and then they will be with him forever. Now, please understand, I teach you and you hear me teach you, and you need to understand, because I see too much crying at funerals I go to. You don't need to cry, the Bible said at the funeral. He said, cry when the baby's born. He's being born into all this. Right? Every now and then I'll give a little baby a cross up at Ella's. I'll be eating up there and they'll have a little baby. And I'll say, here, little buddy, don't eat it. And Mom and Dad, y'all tell this baby what that cross means when the time comes, if you will. Okay. And they'll say thank you sometime, and sometimes they don't know what to say. Others won't know what it is. And I say, it's a key to heaven. You can't get in heaven without one of these. And they'll look at it, really? Yeah, the real one. You can't go to heaven without the cross. You'll go through the cross of Christ or you won't go. You will go through his blood or you don't get to go. And when he comes for his church, and in the twinkling of an eye, the trumpet blows, the dead in Christ, bam, they go before us. Those of us who are walking along or preaching or doing whatever we're doing, bam, we get to go. Caught up to meet him in the air. Well, people say, well, that sounds so ridiculous. I mean, we're in the 21st century now, and we don't believe things like that. You know, for years, the liberal preachers said there wasn't a hell. They still preach that. They won't tell you anybody's going to hell because that's not tolerant. I'll tell you real quick, you reject Jesus Christ, hell's your home. Get ready to go. And they said, well, that's silly, that the middle of the earth. I don't know where hell is, okay, Bible isn't specific. But just the other day, I was in watching a little television there, and I just cheered at the news. And the news was they have found a volcano that's been inactive for years, and it started rumbling a little bit, so they thought they better check on it. And they have found a pool of molten lava big enough under that volcano to fill the Grand Canyon 11 times. Please don't tell me there's not a lake of fire. I can show you one. I can also show you another one. Well, how are you going to do that? Walk out here and look straight up. I'll show you a lake of fire. What do you think the sun is? You ever check the temperature of the sun? Warms the whole world, Proverbs said. You can't hide from it. So the Lord Jesus is going to come for his church in what we call the rapture of the church. Now the Bible says this is going to happen in the twinkling of an eye. That's faster than the blinking of an eye. Okay, the twinkling of an eye is... You remember when you gave your wife that diamond ring or lied about it and said you was going to get her one? You remember? And she just sparkled and her eyes twinkled. This bam, just a little light, real boom. It's gone. Westinghouse checked the speed of the twinkling of an eye back in the 50s and found that was 1/1100th of a second. Now there's a faster speed out. I don't know the name of it, but it's faster than the speed of light. It's so fast, they describe it by saying it can cover a half width of a human hair at a tremendous speed. They can't even measure it. They know that now. This is what's going to happen. When you die, please understand as a Christian, that's a wrong thing to say about you. You went home. Because absent from the body, the scriptures teach, is immediately present with the Lord. That's that twinkling of an eye. No time in between. Here, there, bam. You're there. What a wonderful thing. While they're still trying to pick out the suit to wear to your funeral, you already there. When they're trying to figure out which is the cheapest mortuary to take you to, you're already gone. You're not in the area any longer. You're gone. I remember when my father went home, my brother and I went to the funeral. I helped hold it along with another preacher or two. And the McAfee in Greenville, any of you from there, I played football with their nephew, Doug McAfee. Very familiar with the McAfee funeral home. I've had several homegoings held there. And here comes Brother McAfee, comes out, not the one I played ball with. But his uncle who owned the place. And you know how they do. They get all up in their cells at the funeral home. You know how formal they get. And I like to go bother somebody. Everybody's dead in here. Why are you being so quiet? You know. And so they came to me and my brother and said, now would you gentlemen like to go back to the back and see your father one more time? I thought he was going to cry. And one more time, I said, partner, if me and Bill had any idea that our daddy was back there, you don't have enough people hired here to keep us from going back there. He left out of here 3 days ago. He'd been walking in glory with the Lord for 3 days while y'all trying to look as sad as you can. I love the funeral home over here on the hill. what's my buddy's name? I'm so old, I forget things. What? Alan Lee. I love Alan. Alan's a good fella. And we have, I stop by there every now and then and say, Alan, how's business? And don't tell me it's dead. And, you know, I love to cut up with him. And he said, I wish you wouldn't come by here. And I said, I know you would. And they used to call me when somebody didn't have a preacher. They'd call me to hold a funeral. And so I'd go out and hold it, and I didn't know the people. I didn't care. It was $100. I was going. And so, you know, he builds the family. What the heck? You're right out there, say a few words, and take the $100. And, well, you don't even know them. I said, no, and I'm sorry. I don't know where they went either. And I was out there for one funeral, and when you interview, you asked me to come and hold a funeral. I know you probably have lost somebody that's gone to hell anyhow, because the Christians will say, would you come hold a homegoing for my mom or my dad or my brother or my kid or whoever. I said, more than glad to. And I know what to say. And the hardest thing to do is to hold a funeral for somebody you know has gone to hell. Because what you going to say? You can't tell the truth. Everybody in there go crazy. But they know. They understand. And so I held when you call me to hold a funeral, I go and understand I'm an evangelist. Call an evangelist to come and talk. He's going to preach. He's going to preach the Bible. And if you don't want that done, then don't call me, because that's what I do. Okay. You call a plumber, you're not surprised because he undoes the toilet, are you? Yeah, that's why you call him. That's what he does. And so I went out there and did my, I love to preach on Lazarus and the Lord being out of town and coming back and raising him from the dead. That's a wonderful thing to preach at the at a home going or a funeral. And it was over and went on. Well, about a month, Alan calls me back. Beaver, yeah, we got one up here, needs you to hold a service. And I said, tell me when. So he told me, and I went. Well, I'm sitting in the lobby by some lady I don't know. I'm just, you know, by myself. And I hear her talking to her friend. And she said, well, I was out here last month for a funeral. A friend of ours died. And I hope that same preacher isn't here, because he talked more about us going to hell than he did about the dead person. And I just smiled and grinned, and she hated it when they introduced me, because she knew it was coming. And I go ahead and preach the gospel. Best time to preach the gospel. People get mad at preachers for preaching the gospel at a funeral. Did you know that? Well, he just came out here to preach, blah, 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 blah. No, I came out here to keep you from going where they already are. Why don't you listen? So when we talk about the rapture of the church, understand this is a imminent, meaning can happen any time in the twinkling of an eye, and bam, the dead in Christ rise all over the world out of the ocean. All those who have put their trust in God, put their trust in Jesus Christ, will be raptured, get a new body, and those who are dead will already have theirs. We're going to fall in there behind them. And said, do you believe that? Yeah, I believe that. Well, I can't believe some of the things in the Bible. I know you went to the wrong school, and you listened to a professor who was probably lost himself. And the things they teach you in college now, if you have a grandson or a daughter, a son going to college, tell them do not take any religious courses, because chances are great a Christian isn't teaching there. Chances are great they're going to discount everything you ever learned. They're going to try to. They're going to try to ruin your faith and ruin your child's faith. Isn't that sad? I mean, we have University of North Carolina, and Miss Hatchell comes when she's in town, and we just love Sylvia and love Roy Williams and love the basketball at UNC, followed it all my life. And but in the religion department, what's his name, Jack? Erdman? Yeah. He's an atheist. Used to be a Christian. They took him, at least they demoted him. He's not head of the religious department anymore, but he still teaches religion and or philosophy. Doesn't believe a word of the scripture. Now you're paying $50,000 a year to send your kid to a college where they're going to steal his faith. What's up with that? Why are you going to do that? Why do they have a man going to take your tax money and try to send him to hell? I never understood why we put up with that. I never understood why we put up with a lot. Excuse me. But this is a judgment of God. You see, once that happens, people in the world are in trouble. A period of 7 years comes called a tribulation. And I preached on the tribulation several months ago. Hope you were here. You get into Revelation, you'll find out 21 severe judgments are going to fall on this earth. We're not talking about slapping your wrist, try to do better. We're talking about hail storms of 125 pounds each of the hail. And I remember saying, well, that's ridiculous. There's no hail at 125 pounds each. And then in a few years, they found out we got ice circling us as big as two-story houses. That's the hail to come. Well, what will it do? It'll come through the atmosphere, and it will melt, of course, because of the speed. Time it reaches here, it'll be the size that it's talking about here, 125 pounds. That's a bad snowball, isn't it? You really lost a snowball fight on that day. So we're going to see that happen. Did you ever think the judgments of God that are going to come in, how many have already passed? Judgment started way back, like in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve were judged. They sinned against God. The whole world was judged there. You had to do something to get out of that judgment. And we weren't even there thousands of years ago. Nothing about it. Well, it wasn't my fault. I know it was the federal head of the race's fault. It was Adam's fault. We're latched on to that. We got to do something about that. And you go on, and it's interesting to me that two of the big miracles in the Bible, there's plenty of them, but two of them Jesus emphasizes, and that's the flood. When Jesus Christ says there was a flood, I don't care what an archaeologist said. I don't care what anybody else said. If Jesus said there was a flood, there was a flood. If he said there's going to be one, I'm going to start with an ark. Isn't it interesting that Noah built that ark, him and his boys? He finally hired everybody in town at one time or another, because it took 120 years to build that boat. Now, don't you know the talk in town was something? Just small village anyhow. And somebody would be out of work and say, well, go see the preacher down there. He's building that crazy boat, and he'll hire you. He pays pretty good, and you work for him as long as you want to. He's been down there 50 years building it. I don't know what he's going to do with that boat in the driveway. We're 100 miles from the nearest deep water. He's crazy, but go on down there. They didn't just now start talking about preachers. They've been doing that a long, long time. And so that was a judgment on the world, was it not? Everybody but eight died. Two of them went crazy as soon as they got off the boat. First thing it did is got drunk. Read the book. Find out what happened. Well, my God wouldn't drown everybody, I know, but mine would. And the God of the Bible did. And people will say, well, my God is more tolerant than that. No, that's the God you made up in your head. That's not the God you got from his book. The wrath of God is coming. I mean to say it'll put chills on me to even think of the wrath of God. And the Bible says, kiss the Son, S-O-N, and don't even rattle him a little bit, because just a little, if you kindle his wrath just a little, you're not going to believe the end of that thing. And to make him come down on you 100%, read Revelation. Start looking at those judgments, the bowl and judge and vile judgments, and what's going to happen to this earth. And you're going to be saying, man, I got to get out of here. I can't go through that. That's why people don't study Revelation. That's why preachers don't preach Revelation. Because they listen to the world saying, well, all you're trying to do is scare people into heaven. Son, I don't care how you get me there, get me there. If you think you're scared now, get to the gates of hell knowing you can't ever get out. You don't know what fear is. Well, I don't think, generally I've found, I'm 78 now, I found through my life, I'm sure Brother Harry has, when somebody starts a sentence with "I don't think," they're generally telling the truth. Mm-hmm. And I'm a nice guy. My daddy would stop them right there. Well, Dr. Greenway, I don't think, he'd say, I'm aware of that, but I'll listen to you for a little while. Put a stop to that. See, they don't think because they weren't willing to go along with what Scripture says. That's why the nations in our nation, that's why they're in derision. Of all the people interviewed because of this Baltimore mess, one got it right. He was a black man from the NFL, wonderful Christian football player, and he got right in their face and they asked him what he thought was wrong. He said, I know what's wrong. And they were shocked, Bill Riley and all of them, you know. Didn't know, well, what do you mean? You know, you're just a young man. What do you mean you have the answer? He said, the problem is called sin. What you see happening is sin. It's the result of sin. It's the result of your turning your back on God. The churches are empty. They're joining each other now, trying to make one church out of two. And if you think that's easy to do, it's better to have three mother-in-laws. I mean, there ain't no way you can get two or three in a church working together. They're not going to do that. And we'll get it down here sometime. Well, I don't think. I know, ma'am. Well, that's not the way we do it in New Jersey. And I say, as far as I can tell, y'all don't even do it in New Jersey. So we find out the judgments of God that are coming. Can you imagine the flood? Even today, people deny the flood. Even today, Jesus said it happened. And then I get a religious newspaper in the mail, and I'm reading. And they're showing the pictures. They're finding the wheels, the golden hubcaps, as we would say, of the chariots that chased the Jews across the Red Sea. Where God opened the Red Sea. Now you go to theologian school and they'll say that didn't happen. God said it did. Now they're finding the pieces of the wagons and the bones of the horses embedded in the sand that were chasing them. We don't need that proof, but it's good to have. I love it when it comes along later, just like telling you about the molten lava that came. And we know if you'll wait long enough, the world will catch right up to the Bible, written thousands of years ago. And those of us who preach and teach, we love to see that coming along. We got a little meanness in us. You think Sodom and Gomorrah was a picnic? Thank you, Donnie. Donnie's a gentleman. That's really, that card really means shut up. Okay. Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, now, I just don't believe that happened. Well, straighten up your leotards and read the book. It did happen. See? Now, our nation is voting for men to marry men and women to marry men. The Supreme Court, they tell me. And I'm quick to say, wait a minute, you got the wrong name. What do you mean? That is the Supreme Court of the United States. That doesn't affect me. The Supreme Court is right here. The King of Kings and the Judge of Judges will be here soon, and you're going to stand and your beautiful little husband are going to stand beside him, Bob. And you're going to dig your toes in the dust of gold trying to explain why you married a guy. Now, I heard a member of the Supreme Court, there's just nine of them, and one of them's asleep. The little old lady, she falls asleep every time they hold it. See? And as an atheist on there too, aren't we looking good? But I heard a member of the Supreme Court the other day, and I want you to listen to his logic. He said, if Bill loves Mary, and Mary loves Bill, they can get married. But if Bill loves John, and John loves Bill, they can't get married. Why? Now, this is his logic. I'm going to say, come here, fool. If Bill and Mary get married, they can have a baby. If Bill and John get married, they can't. Are you getting there may be a difference between men and women somewhere in there? What's the matter with somebody on a Supreme Court that has that kind of thinking? And they make the rules for us. By the way, the Supreme Court was never put together to make laws. They were put together to interpret the law. But now they make laws and change laws. And they call us sexist because we say, isn't that a beautiful woman? Miss Ann, your hair looks beautiful. Well, that's sexist. You didn't tell Bob his looks beautiful. Well, Bob's bald. Leave me alone. Okay? You sexist. I have been since I was 12. Right? I mean, you can't appreciate a beautiful woman. Some of you girls may have, but I've never seen a beautiful man that I thought was beautiful. Yeah, I mean, you know, they all look like me. They goofy. I said, I love to get up Sunday morning, getting ready to come down here. I've been up studying, and there I am, and get up and straggle into the bathroom, and my hair's going like this, and stuff in my eyes, and stuff coming out of my nose. I'm looking for my teeth to put in, and there I am standing there ready to shower, naked, looking in the mirror and saying, well, there he is. Made in the image of God. So I'm glad the interpretations are a little bit better because, man, if I'm made in the image of God, they must look forward to. You either. So we're going to go ahead and say judgments. Yeah. What was the biggest judgment that we've had so far? Beside these in Revelation that are coming, the wrath of God. Do you know the wrath of God has already been poured out once? The full wrath of God has already been poured out once. It was poured out on a friend of mine called Jesus. And he was dying on the cross. And the full wrath of God, according to this book, was poured out on him to keep it from being poured out on me. And you don't want me to get excited? And you don't want me to be happy? And you don't want me to tell people? And you don't want us to gather again and not get drunk down here but worship the Lord? Understand where that sea came from? Understanding who made the sun? Understanding, and boy, did you see the Hubble pictures the other week? When they showed 98 billion more parts of the universe with hundreds of trillions more stars. You know all the Bible has to say about that. He made the stars also. I guess there's a little more to it, but God's not interested in explaining that to you. He's explaining to say, look, you're a sinner and you're going to die and go to hell. And you are going to suffer the wrath of God if you don't turn to me. He said, well, you're scaring people. I was brought up to scare hell out of people and I hope I'm doing it. That's what you do when you preach. Well, I don't know if that's the way to do it. You don't know much at all, you know. Go back to where they're going to massage your ears and tell you how wonderful you are. Then you look in the mirror tomorrow morning and call me. All right. I mean, it's a serious matter. If you don't watch Jack Van Ampe, please do Sunday night if you can get him. Jack Van Ampe is just so excited, and he has figured it out. And he's the closest one I know that believes that the Lord is coming in this generation, that we are the generation that will see the return of Christ. If that won't turn your spiritual motor on, you don't have one. Isn't that exciting to know one day we'll step off a curb and never touch the street? Bam, gone home instantly. Said, you really believe that? Yeah. Do you really believe that God can save you? He's the only one who can. You really believe there's just one God? What about all the religions? Nothing has sent more people to hell than religion. There's one Lord. There is one faith. There is one baptism. Anything more than one is more than one. So we put our faith in Christ Jesus, who was God, who is God. He was God when he was born. He just put on humanity. The Mormons have it upside down that one day a man became God. No, read your book. One day God became man. He put man on, see. But he was still God nonetheless. And that's the God you pray to. That's the God you ask to forgive your sins. That's the God you say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I deserve the wrath that was poured out on you. And I deserve anything bad that happens to me because I am a rotten sinner, as we'll sing about in just a minute. But that was then, and this is now. And I've been forgiven. And if you today haven't put your trust in the Jesus of the book, the Lord Jesus Christ in his deity, if you don't understand the atonement that he came and died on a cross on your behalf, and one of the most wonderful thoughts you can ever have, I'll give you right now. Had you or I been the only two sinners who ever lived, and of the 6 billion in the ground now and the 6 billion walking on earth now, you and I were the only ones who had ever sinned. He would have still come. He would have still lived a sinless life. He would have still died on that cross just for me and just for you. Happy Valentine's. Somebody loves you. And once you understand the love of God just a little bit, it'll just turn you inside out. It'll make you smile when you ought to be crying. It'll make you happy when you have reason to be sad. It'll make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. If that hadn't happened to you, won't you let it happen today? You don't have to come up here. We'll sing and pray in a minute. But where you sit, God knows where you are. He knows where you were last night. And where you are, you bow your head and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I know it and you know it. No use to get out the list. It's too long to be read. But I finally understand that you love me and you died for me. And if I will accept that, you will save me from the wrath to come. And I want to thank you in advance that those vile judgments and bold judgments and a place called hell are not in my future. All that's been washed away by the blood of Christ, and I rejoice in you today. If you hadn't done that, you do that. You don't have to come up here. Can if you want to. Be glad to pray with you about that or anything else. But right where you are, if you've never asked the Lord to save you, my friend, it's getting very, very late. And there's very little time left. And the devil's best lie is, yeah, I know Jesus. He's right. I know the Bible. Yeah, I know that. It's right. But you don't have to do it right now. You can wait. Don't believe that lie from the father of lies. Today may be the day that we see him face to face. I pray that it will be. Shall we pray? Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can get together and discuss you and praise you and worship you and look at you and say you are the Lamb that took away the sins of the world, died on Calvary's cross, shed your blood that I could live. You died so I could live. You lived to come back and get me. And it's so exciting to say, yes, I believe Jesus is coming back soon. But even greater than that, I believe he's coming for me. And if there be one here on the webcam who doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, may today they put their trust and faith in you and be able to call you Father, Savior, Lord God Almighty. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, and for his sake, amen. If you didn't get a book, they for sale out there. Wesley will have them. You got them? Yeah, Wesley will be out there taking names. Okay, and we'll have them next Sunday for you.
If you could see
what I once was,
if you could go with me back to where I started from, then I know you would see a miracle of love that took me in its sweet embrace and made me what I am today. Just an old sinner saved by grace. I'm just a
victories God.